مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مارك السهابة, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We welcome you to this segment. It is our interview segment from 8:30 to 9. And Wednesdays we have Mufti Farhan Karani. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Mufti Saab. No, no, not tired of listening. Maybe the Mossad is tired of listening. So, this, inshallah, Mufti Saab, is all well?
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
You're saying everything okay?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, always well. The sugar, it's getting a bit warmer nowadays. So we have to...
Yeah, but they say we're expecting another cold front this weekend.
One more.
Yeah, I think one more.
Okay.
Not so much to be grateful for. The one cold front is nothing else.
Gee.
The temperature doesn't drop to maybe about 19 or 18 or something, but it's not like that.
Gee.
A serious thing. You know, we already had the -5.
So Mufti Saab, today we're discussing, and our topic is the harms that are trending with regards to the weddings and these janaza customs. Mufti Saab, you can advise us. We always, this is something that constantly we need to be addressing and informing the Ummah, because it seems like we forget at times. It's just the other day I drove past a janaza house where someone passed away in the house, but people laughing. You don't know whether it's actually a wedding or janaza. Then later you come to find out someone passed away in the home. So Allah knows best what we are really doing and where is our priorities.
You always correct our niyat first before we speak, before we do anything. It is speaking only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and our niyat is not to target certain people or certain communities or anything. We just have to speak the haq and make amar bil ma'ruf and nahy anil munkar. So where we see something wrong, we should speak. Alhamdulillah, we have the platform to speak, so we speak. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's duty was also to speak. When the people were doing wrong, he had to tell them that this is what you're doing. What you're doing is wrong, and this is the right way to do it. So we always want to, like Nabi Sallam mentions in the hadith, that you know, we want to follow the kuffar, even if they're going to a lizard's hole. We want to follow them. So we have our own ways, the Islamic ways, the laws, Sharia, are so beautiful. And Nabi Sallam, if you talk about marriage, right? Nabi Sallam advised us that the marriage which had the nikah, which has the most barakah, the most blessing, is the one that has the least expenses. And nowadays we see that weddings cost in the millions. Not even in the hundreds of thousands, in the millions. Why? Because you want to follow the Western way of life. You want to impress people. And, you know, there's no barakah in that. Like Nabi Sallam says, it's so true. There's no barakah in that, because those marriages last for 1-2 weeks and sometimes 1-2 months. And 1 year is too much also, because there's no barakah in that kind of wedding. So before the wedding also, there are so many haram. You know, it's like, most of it is Hindu customs, and nowadays we're putting the Western customs also in. The ones we brought from India, the Hindu customs, the Mehndi night, and now the other customs from the Kufar we learned this area, the bridal showers. These are not our ways. Well, now, you know what's a bridal shower? A bridal shower is an event or like a party where the bride will instruct everybody that this is the theme, this is the things you must bring. You must choose, pick from the list here what you're going to bring. And you can bring, you can pick off, you can tell me what you're going to bring. You will bring a toaster or an iron or a kettle. And the brand must be this brand, Smeg or Kenwood or whatever. And the color must be this here. It must be green or purple or yellow or pink or red or something. So you are actually forcing people to do something against their will. The person might not be able to afford that kind of appliance for them own, for their own self. But now, you are now pressurized to buy for somebody else where you won't buy for your own self.
Exactly.
So, and if you don't bring it, then, and if you don't come for it, then they say, oh, you know, they're so stingy, or, you know, they can spend money on other things in it, but they can't even spend money on us. You know, next time, you know, when they invite us, we're not going to go for their occasion. So this is extortion. This is putting pressure on somebody to do something for you. And it's against their will. But they say, no, but we're not forcing you. Nobody forced you. You don't have to come if you don't want to come. And we never force you to buy it. If you're coming, then you have to, this is a theme. So you have to bring this kind of thing. So this is not Islamic. So it's sad, but our Muslim people are advocating it, and they are doing it, and they're in the forefront of these things. And then you get the stork nest party, you know, when some, a baby is going to be born. The same thing. You must go, they send a message out that you must go to a certain baby shop, whatever, the baby shop, Toys R Us, whatever, and the shop already has a list. When I see the list, some of them, they got like 100 items on it. And then you must go there, and then you must pick off what you're going to buy, and then you put it in a trolley there. So, you not buy anything for your own child. The whole world must buy for your child. And you expect everybody to do for your child, and you want the child, so you must now, you're delegating the work to other people. That's not the Islamic way. And then, if you go and buy maybe a dummy for 30 rand there, and you put it in the trolley, they could have bought a Tommy Tuppy or what, I don't know, Tommy Tuppy or whatever the thing is. Cost 200-300 then. But see, my child must use dummy like a 30 rand dummy. So, I mean, now you are introducing something to Sharia. Now you're creating problems. What all these customs is fitna that comes with it. So, you must try to avoid all these things.
It's smart begging, basically. They're looking down for you. It's like you, the beggar, you give him 5 rand, and he's like, you're only giving me 5 rand. So they're begging in the first place. It's smart. Everything's become smart.
Yeah, it's smart, right? It's a smart way of begging. So look at the weddings also. Right? You can have a... Now, what is a simple way of getting married? You make the nikah, and after it, you feed the people. You feed the family members, some friends, poor people, invite them. It's the walima. Nabi Hassan's walima was so simple. He asked Baba whoever had anything. They brought some dates and some butter and some cheese, whatever they had, and they brought it and they ate. It was the walima. And now the walima Nabi Hassan made was goat meat with bread. Simple occasion. But we have to spend hundreds and thousands and millions of rands. One wedding, they gave each person a cigar, a Cuban cigar. Imagine how much it costs that person to, but he's very wealthy. But I mean, they are all like showing off in it. So, draping the chairs. Why do you need to drape a chair? And you dress the chair up also. And I mean, so much of wastage. I mean, the sunnah sitting on the floor and eating, get done and go. I mean, what's the need for draping chairs and sitting on the table and chairs? And I mean, we do everything against the sunnah. Then you complain, man, I need tawiz. You know, everything's going wrong in my life. I don't know what is happening. My wife is not happy with me. And, you know, we're just fighting in the house. And we need a tawiz. And what amal can I do? First amal is obey the laws of Sharia. That's all. Obey the laws of Sharia. And Allah Ta'ala will make your house a blissful place to live in. The other customs, let's put marriage aside now.
Mufti Sahib, just one more. Just to add to that as well, Mufti Sahib spoke on the baby showers and that. Now, there's two things I just want to say here. One is the same thing. Just recently, my father-in-law asked me to read one of the invitations for him. And as I was reading, I was going down. And exactly the same thing is they're using for the marriages, as what you want to purchase. So they give you the stores which you must purchase, exactly the same procedure, and also what you can purchase. They tell you also what to purchase, so that it must be nothing of the lower class. And then they put the banking details there. So It's like, how do you can't imagine Muslims doing these things. And yeah. The
Like
other
even COVID times, people were saying no, they was the birth of a baby or something in a family. If they didn't know, you're not taking visitors, but yes, the banking details you can send.
So, and the other thing is, yo, is where the you'll say, like, women who are in Parda, they will say that, you know what, baby showers, it's only going to be females, or bridal showers, only females there.
Yeah.
So we can go because it's only females. But here's the catch then. Firstly, there's no basis for it in Islam for these items, and then all the other added stuff. And one of the things that we heard personally from people who attended it, and they told my family, and they saw what they saw was that you go in with your parda, everything, but then they have they have some entertainment, and that entertainment most of the times is musical chairs or something to do with this. And if now the parda lady says, you know what, we don't want to engage in this year, then they say, but then you chose to come. We exactly what Mulana Mufti Saab said earlier. You, who told you to come? You don't have to. You. And then later, of course, they'll say, okay, but we have to have the music and everything. So where is our priorities? The build up to something that's supposed to be so sacred, you're already imitating the kuffar in so many ways and earning the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's something which we are pleading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every unit of salah. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. This is what we are asking for. That not their pathways, but this we are going straight into it. So this is just something as well we added to this. Mufti Saab, with regards to the...
There's one more thing I want to... You brought another topic up. So, the mainly parties that they have, and even the bridal showers, it's not only an occasion for buying gifts and bringing and pledging. You know, it's like a donation, a pledge. You must pledge what you're going to bring and what you're going to buy. And so it's so lewd. It's so shameless. The things that they do, that the women, you know, it's on air, you can't even mention these things. You know, it's like rude things. They speak about and what you're going to do with your husband. I mean, these kind of things you can't speak about. I mean, it is shameless. In the context of the hadith, you become a prostitute. Basically, you're a prostitute because what you're speaking about and what you are telling the new bride to be, what she must do, and on the first night. And I mean, you can't talk about these things. You can't discuss these things. These are private matters. I mean, it's unfathomable how a woman, a Muslim woman, can even discuss these things. And then they have lewd clothing, they buy for the bride, and this is what you must wear. And I mean, these are shameless things. You can't do these kind of things because the kuffar do these things. Now, why should we have bachelor parties and spinster parties and Allah forgive us that what goes on in those parties? I mean, they just... How the kuffar do it, that is how we Muslim people want to do it and carry it out. And then we say, no, it's just a fun night. We're just having some fun. Then the whole thing is finished. And then after that is the wedding. And then after the wedding, then they have the reception. And then, I mean, those things are all out of Islam. Customs which are out of Islam and not part of Islam. And we want Allah Ta'ala's help. Then we have to follow the way of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sassam. That is so simple. We make our life so complicated. And then we're going to take out loans with the banks and use our credit cards and things to buy things which we can't even afford. Going to the next topic about...
Mufsis, up one more point there. That we say interfaith. But if just on this basis, what Mufti Saab was saying now with the Mandi night, that's if you see that whole culture and what's, it's not a culture, it's an imitation of another religion. And that whole Hindu, I don't know where you have to wear sari and the music and all of this. Where does this all, you imitating the Hindus, the idol worshippers, and then comes the reception. The reception, then you're imitating the Christians because most weddings you'll see now, it's on a Sunday and it's in the garden, and you'll have chairs on the one side, chairs on the other side, and the bride walks down in the with all the bridesmaids and all of this here. Where does this all the culture, the religion is imitated of Christianity? So, and then just the nikah portion, that's sometimes it's not even in the masjid. That is the only Islamic avenue that you have there. The rest is, like Mufti Saab said, it's they've got nothing to do with Islam. So these issues.
They got music and everything in the hall, but in a wedding venue. Then you want Maulana Mazrik Kirat also there. How can you mix? You mix Kirat with the music.
Hmm.
You're going to have Kirat first. And then you're going to start the music and start all the haram activities.
Inna lillah.
I mean, why do you want to bring Quran in the mix? You are just facing Allah Ta'ala's kalam by putting the kalam of Allah amongst all that haram activities.
Gee, and I think it's vitally important, Mufti Saab, that we also say at this juncture that we've got family members, everyone, and there's many people that are going through the same instance where they are invited. So the Mulana will say, okay, I can't come because of so and so reason. And then they will have this. We often, what I try to do is, because of this whole COVID that just passed now. So when a person got married in COVID, you said because Ramaphosa had put these rules down, we can't attend your wedding. So there you worshipped Ramaphosa. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying because of these reasons that we cannot engage in this because of so many haram that is taking place. And that's what you recite in your witr, وَنَخْلَ وَنَتْرُكُ مَا يَفْجُرُكُ. So you're going to have these imitations. How can we come there? So Mufti Saab, maybe you can just give us a little bit more insight as to why ulama say no, and those who are trying, at least we won't say we are pious, or, but we are trying, we're trying. So why then do you say that we are making, breaking family ties at this, at these avenues?
Exactly what Shu'aib al-Islam's people told him. You're acting too pious. Why are you acting pious? You don't want to be amongst us. You don't want to be with us. You don't want to be like us. You don't want to do what we do. And, you know, once, you know, I went somewhere for a dawah, and one of the I asked them nicely, you know, politely, you know, can you just put the sakhan for me on the side so I can eat on the floor. And somebody told me that when you were the Romans, you must do what the Romans do. A Muslim person telling me, when you're the Romans, do what the Romans do. I mean, a person wants to practice on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and there you are scoffing and mocking at him. And so Shu'aib alayhi salam was told the same thing. If you don't want to be with us, then you must leave us. And you're acting, is this instruction coming from your salah? Is this your salah instructing you to do all these things here, to tell us these things here? We don't like what you're saying. So we have to be steadfast. We have to be steadfast. If the family is going to ostracize you, so be it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was ostracized. So, I mean, it's an accolade for me. I mean, I'm doing what my Nabi did, and I'm getting the same response of my Nabi got. So Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala chose me for this path, and I want to go to Jannah. If I want to go to Jannah, I have to be prepared for all the criticism that you're acting too pious, and you want to be special, and that's why nobody will invite you anywhere, because they know what kind of people you are. I mean, when you want to be like them, they got no problem. When you want to be a friend of shaitan, then they got no problem with you. But when you want to be the friend of Allah Ta'ala, then the whole world has problems, because shaitan is controlling the world. He took his pledges to Allah Ta'ala, that وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ. He went on a rampage there, that he is so angry, he is going to try his best, and now Qiyamah is coming even closer. He's putting all the extra hours in there to make sure that the people do haram, and those people who are trying to do good and make them evil, they become the evil people. And those who are the evil people, they are portrayed to be the good people, the saviors. And so this is the unfortunate world we're living in. I was listening to Mona Yunus Patel on his bayan. He mentioned, he passed away in 2011. I mean, you know, I was just thinking that what you were speaking about, that people go for janazas and then they expect a meal. They just go there, park off there, you know, they just sit there waiting for a meal to come there. some other uncles asking for papad and achar and I mean, you came to mourn, and you came to make taziyat and of a family, and somebody has passed away. And so, my Yunus Fatih Rahmani, he had such a great mosque, such a good mosque in Makkah Mukarramah, right there by the Baytullah. So Allah Ta'ala saved him from all these kind of things, because his janazah left from Makkah Mukarramah, and they couldn't do nothing there. There's no family members there to make any bid'ah and haram there. So he was so fortunate. And now, if we must pass away here, then the first thing is that food, the chows, was organized the chows. Mm. Now, what are you going to get the day? Who are you going to phone? And it's not the first priority. First priority is you have to mourn. Allah Sharia has given you permission to mourn. Mm. You must cry. You must grieve. You got 3 days to do that. Not 3 days to feed people. The 3 days is for you to grieve.
True.
Those people who come to the janazah, for the janazah, to the house, they must bring the food there.
Mm. And
you mustn't go there to eat. Yes, our people, they go there especially to eat. And even if they don't even know the person there, they just go there, rock up there because there's food, there's free food. We're going to get mutton curry or chicken tarkari or something. So when I go to funerals and I go there at the odd time where there's no, lunch is now finished, gone. And so you're not going to put yourself in a predicament where now you have to sit down and eat there. And sometimes they force you, you must eat, you have to eat. And now you're forced to eat, but you didn't go with the need there to go and eat. And you must sympathize with the family, and you must actually take things to the family's house. This is food. I know you people are going through this difficult time, and you must eat. You know, we'll send some more food, and this is the correct way.
True.
And it starts to us from the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when somebody passed away, and you must take the food to the family. And expect the family to feed you, especially on Saturday, Sunday. Now everybody is free, and whole family and extended family is there, and they all, it's like a party, and nobody is even consoling the family.
Mm.
Everybody is making panchad there, and uncles are talking about their business, and as if nobody died in that house. And the aunties are making ribat and making gossiping about the whole world, this one and that one. I mean, you came there to mourn the maid, and when the maid was lying there, everybody was quiet because they're scared of the maid. I don't know why they're all scared of the maid. But as soon as the maid leaves the house, well, the party is carry on. The put up the tea and bring the biscuits, and where's the food, and where's the rice? And I mean, it's a party. You know, the fuqaha and our Sufis, they warn us, you know, and from the hadith of Nabi also, how can you go to a janazah and you're laughing? And people are laughing. If you realize, if it just hits you, like, you know, 1 millimeter, it hits you, that, you know, I am going to go in that grave. That red sand is flying out from there. It's going to be me inside there. These people are going to be in a hurry to throw sand because they want to go home. They're going to be in a hurry to put you in the ground there and to leave you there forever. But now we are laughing at the Qabristan. We are laughing there by the janazah house. We are cracking jokes. And as if nothing happened. You know, some Sophia, when they used to see a janazah, they used to go into depression for 2-3 weeks. They used to be in depression because the reality is to hit them again that I'm going to leave this world. I'm going to die. What preparations have I made? They're frantically making more preparations for the akhirat. I read about one story. I read in the Fazari Amal that one youngster. He used to fast the whole day, and the whole night he used to make salah. So his father told one alim, you know what, can you speak to this son of mine? You know, he's gone crazy, man. You know, he must cool it down a little bit. So before this man could speak to the son, he said, I know what you're going to speak about. My father told you to tell me that I must come and cool it down. See, let me tell you something. You know, I had friends. You know, imagine friends I had there. Where they dare you to do good. They outdo each other in goodness. And nowadays, we dare each other truth and dare to do the weirdest and stupidest of things in the world. And so these friends, they dare each other, how much ibadah can you make? So they exerted themselves so much. See, my friend passed away. Youngster. His friends all passed away, making ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. They reduced themselves to skin and bones, and they passed away. So much of ibadat they made. You see, I'm the only one left. My friends were laughing at me that I couldn't do enough, so I stayed behind. And after a few days, he passed away. This is what kind of abidin we must become. And we must worship Allah Ta'ala day and night. If we mustn't even know whether it's day or night, we must be in a worship of Allah Ta'ala all the time. But we are not farishtas. We need to do things. We need to buy things. We need to go places and meet people. And you need to travel also. So, but the point is that we must remind ourselves all the time about the akhirat. So when we go to places where there was a janaza, the Malakul Maut was there, we must remind ourselves that it could be us. It will be us. It will be us. But we don't know when it will be us. Would we like it when we die and some people are gathering by our house to come and eat and they don't even care about us. They don't even care of the fact that we have left. And then crocodile tears, some aunties crying crocodile tears. And then, I mean, we just reveal our hypocrisy. So Allah Ta'ala give us the hidayah to stay on the straight path, Siratul Mustaqim, and stay from all these customs and traditions and just do what the Sharia demands us to do. And that's all.
Amen. It's important we get these reminders. I'll just share this here quickly before we leave, that there was this brother from Kuwait, uncle from Kuwait, and we know him personally. And he said to us, you know, there's few things. He moved there. He was from South Africa and he's working there. He said, there's few things that I learned in Kuwait that I didn't learn from you people in South Africa. And he said, one of the things, I'll just share that part, that when you people have... When a person passes away here in South Africa, then you people have this mourning doesn't continue for 3 days. I mean, it's not restricted to 3 days. It goes on for weeks. Right. Next Saturday, following Saturday. He said there in Kuwait, if you go to a brother and you tell him that, you know what, Maaf, your father passed away last week, and I'm sorry to hear this, and you send your condolences or whatever, this brother will shout you and he'll reprimand you. Said Allah Azza wa Jal gave us 3 days to mourn. Now I'm supposed to be coming out of it. You reminding me, you putting me back in that depression. And this year he says, this is something that you people in South Africa, you need to address, and the ulama must address it. And so I said, you must come on air with me and speak to me, speak to the people, so that they can see that it's not only the ulama that are speaking about this year, it's a trend that we've fallen trapped to. So, Mufti Sahib, Allah reward you for reminding us as well. Inshallah, we'll discuss more in the future. Jazakumullah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.